Mr. Chair.
Sorry, everybody. I can't read directions, obviously, on the phone line. We were on the executive session line.
I kind of figured as much. Sharon just punched in, and Mr. Chair, you can go ahead and take it away.
Hey, thanks, Trey. Welcome to CEPA special meeting, February 15, 2019 at 4:02 p.m. Sharon, could we please have a roll call first?
Yes. Amelon?
Here.
Donato?
Here.
Sievertson?
Present.
Davies? Coos? Skillings?
Here.
Lynn?
Here.
Larson?
You're here.
Prysunka?
Here.
Von Bargen?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you want to see if there's anybody else who wants to be identified on the line?
Mr. Chair, so far, Caleb with the Wrangell Sentinel, Kirk Gibson, attorney, Carl with the Petersburg Utility, and Jeff with the Petersburg Assembly have identified themselves. Is there anybody else other than those folks that have signed on?
Hi, this is Jean Leffler with KSTK in Wrangell.
Thank you.
Joel Pays, Mayor Council to CEPA.
Thank you, Joel.
Clay here, the operations manager.
Thank you, Clay.
Sharon, we also have Steve Diesbeck, our city manager here.
Thank you, Steve.
Welcome.
Okay, so Sharon, then is that everybody?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, fantastic. Just a couple of things, because it's always difficult to do these things over the phone. If I could ask that when people are speaking, if you can speak up and make sure that you say your name when you start out, that would be very helpful to Sharon, who's going through and making sure that we have minutes. I'd also request folks, it makes it a little bit easier for me that if you want to speak, could I just ask that you text me at 305-3016. I get a text and I'll keep a running list of who's next. So that's 305-3016. Just text me with your name so I know who it is, and then I'll keep a list so that we don't have people talking over each other trying to speak. And then we had originally stated that this was going to be an executive session. After speaking with both Trey and Joel, we determined that we think that we can move through our meeting outside of executive session. We want to be cautious not to get into any topics that we should be in executive session on, and I will trust that Joel will help us out with that if we start to waver and sway a bit into areas that we want to do in executive session. So with that, I will ask Trey to give us an update on where we're at and where we're heading.
So we should probably have an approval of the agenda first, Mr. Chair.
Yes. We'll go through and have an approval of the agenda. Can I get a motion, please?
This is Bob Sievertson in Ketchikan. I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah. We have a second.
Bob Green from Petersburg, I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd recommend that we go ahead and
amend it
so
that we remove the need for the executive session and have the discussion in regular session.
Okay. Are you moving that?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
We have a second for the amendment.
In case you still need it.
No, again, from Petersburg, I'll second it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
In the amending, I think that it would be noteworthy that we have the discussion in regular session, but leave the executive session in place if there is something that arises that we think may need to move into it, if it's something with client privilege or something, if that's okay.
Yeah, I believe that's okay, and I think that can be a part. Bob, are you going to second that?
I am.
Thank you. Okay, so we've had an amendment to the motion, and it is that we are going to hold the meeting in, that we're going to approve the agenda, but the amendment is that we're going to hold the meeting in open session with the option moving into executive session if we feel the need. So is that a motion and second? Any discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Skillings?
Aye.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So now we're going to revisit the original motion, which is the acceptance of the agenda as amended. Is there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Skillings?
Aye.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead. Okay, so Trey, would you like to bring us up to date and kind of frame this out for us for some discussion here today?
Sure. So the thrust of today's meeting is to bring the board up to date on the current reservoir management, and I think it'd be good if we could focus on what it takes us to get through the next couple of weeks, and then we've got a long work session planned at our next regular board meeting where we can all get together face to face and talk to in some of the finer minutia. I'd start with a little update here, and I'm just read through my outline and then where I think we might go, and then I'll work through each individual issue, and we can stop along the way and discuss as needed. So where I was kind of anticipating this would go, we'd talk about the weather, talk about the loads, lake levels, draft limits, talk about operational concerns both with the member utilities and SEPA. And then at the same time, following up on that, then we'd look at some options for board consideration. So with that, I'll start off with the weather. February temps, I think, as everybody's observed, have been lower than forecast and below the five-year average. Looking forward here over the next 2 weeks, unfortunately, it's still going to be dry. But for the most part, it looks to be warming, and I don't see any single digits per se, and hopefully we may even hit some 40s on some days. So that's good news. Of course, that's we're at the mercy of the weather reporters there. But the trend is looking better. I'll say January. Inflows were robust and looked good, and at that time, I think the last time we spoke, or my last memo to the board, things were looking really good, but then we had a drastic shift in the other direction over the last 3 weeks. So as a result of that shift, February, the loads were higher than average, and just for reference for folks to kind of give them a sense of how that impacts how we do our management and forecasts. You know, 1 degree Fahrenheit, I think, equals about 1.6% change in loads. And so take a 20 degree temperature change and you get over a 33% change in your loads, which seriously impacts how fast the draft rates are on the lakes. So today, lake levels in Tyee, the last time I checked, were 1265.2, and Swan Lake was 284.3. And for those of you that may not be familiar with those lake elevations and their relativeness to how far we can draft, that's a good segue into draft limits. The current board-approved draft limits in the December ops plan, voted upon by the board, SEPA Board of Directors and approved, is Tyee's maximum draft limit is 1260, and for reference, the FERC license is 1250. And for Swan Lake, the board-approved draft limit was 280, and the FERC limit's 271.5. So just to kind of summarize that a little bit, right now we're about 5 feet in both lakes above our current board-approved draft levels. And so we're approaching those. That slowed up a little bit. We were drafting about a foot a day there for a while in the super cold temperatures, but that's moderated somewhat. So I'll halt there just for a minute and take a breath and let folks ask any questions they may have on, you know, weather, loads, lake levels, and what the current draft limits are.
Through the chair, this is Bob Severson in Ketchikan. Steve?
Go ahead.
So you stated that the Ketchikan draft limits were 280. Did we change that last to 285?
No, that was increased from 275.
275.
Which was kind of traditional. We've been around 275. And this year we amended the ops plan and took that to 280 for Swan Lake.
There was some initial discussion, Bob, at the last meeting where we did discuss a higher number. I think of around 285, and then with Carl came back and said, you know, we'll meet middle way, and we went with 280.
All right, just for clarification. Thank you.
Yeah, there was some discussion on kind of feathering as they got down there and to kind of slow that draft and kind of dip down in there. We had quite a bit of discussion on that, actually.
Does anybody else have any other questions for Trey on the initial startup here?
Okay, I'll keep going, Mr. Chair. So, over the, obviously we're meeting on this sometimes almost daily, sometimes hourly with folks that are involved. And I hope the board recognizes we kind of have some challenges there a little bit because we have day-to-day operations, we have a little bit larger issues, and then we have policy and board issues. And then we also have to be careful from the Open Meetings Act, how many board members are present at meetings, and it gets a little bit complicated to make sure the proper people are being copied on everything. As it is now, just our weekly planning document that we use just for, essentially we started off using with the utility managers to plan our weeks out now. That's now distributed to 36 people, and it was just an internal planning document in the first place. So we that's something that we should probably discuss down the road at some time, how we better manage that, the flow of information and the expectation of the various parties. In some ways, it might be more efficient to have single points of contact to distribute that information, and then folks could distribute that as they see fit within their own organization. It's hard for us to keep up with the various email changing all the time at the different entities. So, over the course of the last few weeks, some things that have actually some of these issues go back further. But I'll say these are the current member utility operational concerns that I think are the highest level things that I'm aware of. And so I'll just kind of walk through them and then give folks an opportunity to comment. So right now there's some diesel generation reliability and availability concerns. I'll say that's... I think that's prevalent in probably all communities, more so in Ketchikan at the moment. There's also Title V air quality permits with Unit 1 and Unit 2 at Bailey that have some hours requirements, as I understand it, and they're potentially will bump up against those at some point in time. And also KPU is in the process, or maybe has completed, I'm not sure, of siting and permitting their rented diesel generators, which they have two of. And then I'll also note that the northern communities would prefer to feather in diesel prior to full load need, essentially kind of extending reserves in the event that that it looks like they're going to need to burn some diesel. I'll stop right there, and I'm sure Andy probably has some comments with regard maybe to some of the current concerns I've mentioned, if I've not characterized them correctly. Or other folks.
Andy, do you want to speak to that?
Oh, thank you. Sure. No, I think Trey has done well here in citing that it's exactly the issue. So I guess just to recant quickly here, the diesel reliability availability is an issue. Title V limits is an issue. And the rental diesels, we moved them out of our Bailey location because that had a rather major Title V permit attached to it, and the permitting required to add the additional diesels was going to take too long. It's just now entered the public comment phase, and they thought they'd maybe be able to get that out to us by April. So we found out there's a short track if we moved them elsewhere, and so we've done that. We worked feverishly through the last 2 days and evenings, and we now have them located, and one of them is available to run. The other one, we may have to wait for parts until after the holiday. It's got some, well, it's available to run, but to do it remotely, it needs some communication parts. So there's nothing holding us from sending somebody out there and going inside of it and kicking it on and kicking it off. It just doesn't have the communications to do it by a control room. So,
thanks, Andy.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any comments for Trey on their diesel generation side? I know in Rango we've got all four ready to go here, and we've installed a new controller in the fall to ensure that we're ready to roll. But we would prefer to be feathering in for sure.
Mr. Chairman, this is Bob.
That's Bob.
So, Andy, through the chair, so what is the hours and information on the Title V stuff for Unit 1 and 2?
Well, thanks. If I can respond to that, Mr. Chair.
Yes,
so,
please do, Andy.
Right, so in the permit, Bailey Generator Units 1 and 2 are together, so it's a... Yeah, it's an either or, doesn't matter. And right now we have, as of today, we have 89 hours left for this month. Now, if we roll into and the calendar page changes to March, we gain 190 hours. So if we can carry any over, that'll be added to that. But right now we've got 89 hours left. Now, you may want to ask what happens after 89 hours. Well, we're working towards that with ADEC. They have a process that we have to follow. Otherwise, there's some severe compliance fines, and then also some board reviews and rigorous reporting thereafter, and up to and including not granting the next... the next permits, but we're working with them. We've acknowledged, so they said that's very important that we've acknowledged the fact that we're walking into this. They did also acknowledge the fact that they realize the position that we're in and wish us the best.
That was considerate of them.
Yeah.
So through the chair of this, Bob. So Andy, that's a. Federal standard that the state is enforcing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's based
anybody
on emissions.
Want to comment on the diesel situation? Okay, Trey, you
want to
continue on?
Sure. So, SEPA operations concerns. Part of our strategy that's been communicated in the past was to utilize reserves above 280 in Swan Lake and shift that energy to the north and dedicate that to serving their loads up there to delay any diesel burn ahead of the turn. For folks, ahead of the turn means when the snow starts to melt and come off the hills, and we start to get inflows from snow melt or rain. So as the temperatures warm up, we anticipate more rain and a combination of snow melt. One of our concerns is that we had a preliminary agreement to shift 6,000, and I think we were at about 2,000.